sure why, but anyway. All right, kids, gather around because I have a special message for you all. And as always, there'll be an assignment afterward that you'll have to color a picture for me. So you'll have to get ready for that as well. Okay, so maybe some of you kids have a neighborhood bully or something, that somebody that you have to deal with. And you know, when you're alone, well, that can be kind of a scary thing, especially if the bully's a lot bigger than you. But what happens when your big brother is standing behind you? Or your dad? I don't know about you kids, but my dad, when I was little, my dad was 6'3", 6 foot 3 inches tall. And he worked outdoors, so he was a big guy. He weighed over 200 pounds, and I'll tell you something. I felt really secure when my dad was standing behind me. And you know something? When you're meeting a neighborhood bully or whatever, it's nice to know you got somebody big behind you, right? Well, you know, that's kind of the way it is with God. He is for you, and He stands behind you, and He will protect you. And so what I want you to do is draw a picture of you with some big guy behind you. It could be your dad, or it could be a bigger brother or whatever. But I want you to draw me a picture of that. And I want you to think of how that applies in your life to the idea that God is there for you. Amen? So you got your assignment. You can send it to me via the internet, and we can kind of go from there. Hey, welcome to CCC. We thank you for making the connection as we're entering into the sermon portion of the message. The good news is it looks like some of the restrictions are going to start getting lifted as of May 1st, so we're excited about that. But in the meantime, there's still a lot of fear going around. And, you know, I'm sad to say there seems to be a lot of fear-mongering going on, you know, and I don't know about you, but I get internet or emails from all kind of unsolicited sources that, you know, will say this or say that. And, you know, some of it is just good information. Some of it out there is just good information. You know, how to, you know, keeping your hands clean, don't touch your face, you know, those kind of things. You know, how to keep yourself safe. But some of the other stuff is kind of like, I don't know what some of these guys are up to. Maybe they've got a new book to sell or whatever. So there's a lot of fear going on. And some of the fears are justified. I mean, some people are afraid of losing their job. Some people are afraid of financial ruin. Some people have really invested in small businesses. And because of the situation, they stand to lose everything. And some, quite frankly, are afraid of contracting a disease, and that's out there. I mean, there are some people that are more vulnerable than others. So what do we do? What do we do in these times? And if you know anything about me, you know that I'm going to turn to the Bible for answers. And I would suggest to anybody out there in internet land, the Bible can be your source of solutions because it is God's word to us. And it was recorded over by about 35 different authors over a 1,500 year period. So it spanned the test of time. I mean, you know, this United States, you know, we've been around for a bit over 200 years. Well, this word was put together by various authors, all inspired by the Holy Spirit, over 1,500 years. You think they saw some wars? You think they saw some famine? You think they might have seen some financial ruin in those times? You think some of the people that were in this book might have lost their jobs or lost their very lives or at least were threatened to lose their lives? So through it all, the Bible is your guide. Whether you believe in it or not, I suggest you get into it and read it. And I like, and I've been through tough times in my life, and I'm just going to give you a little personal idea here, is that when I'm going through a tough time, a lot of times I'm going to turn to the book of Psalms. to me, the Psalms is a lot of encouragement. Now, when I want wisdom, I go to the next book, which is Proverbs. And actually, if you want, you can, you know, if you're not a big reader and you want to get into the Word of God, I recommend reading a chapter out of Proverbs a day. There's about 30 or so Proverbs, chapters of Proverbs. Just, you know, whatever day it is, you know, if today's, you know, whatever, the 19th or the 20th or whatever, you know, you read Proverbs 19 or 20. But today we're going to look at Psalms. And if all I have to do is just open my Bible, and typically if I'm not in Psalms, I'm really close to Psalms. So I open it up, and today we're going to be in Psalm 46. As I've said before in some of my previous talks, the book of Psalms is a book of Psalms 19 or 20. But today we're going to look at Psalms. And if all I have to do is just open my Bible, and typically if I'm not in Psalms, I'm really close to Psalms. So I open it up, and today we're going to be in Psalm 46. As I've said before in some of my previous talks, the book of Psalms is a book of Psalms 19 or 20. From one of the sons, or some of the sons of. And if all I have to do is just open my Bible, and typically if I'm not in Psalms, I'm really close to Psalms. So I open it up, and today we're going to be in Psalm 46. As I've said before in some of my previous talks, the book of Psalms is a book of Psalms 19 or. And if all I have to do is just open my Bible, and typically if I'm not in Psalms, I'm really close to Psalms. In my Bible, the heading is, God is our fortress. And it starts out in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Let's pray. Father God, as we enter into this message, Lord God, I just pray that you'd quicken to our hearts, that you would enliven our hearts, the knowledge that you want us to know, the things that you want us to realize that you've placed in this passage. Lord, I just pray by your Holy Spirit that you just reach into our very hearts and lives and cause us to be different people as a result of reading this today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what do we learn about this? What can we know from this passage? You know, I think the Bible, and you won't be able to see yourself in this, but I think the Bible is a mirror. And even though you don't see a reflection here, I think when we look in the Word of God, we can kind of see for ourselves. Like right now, I don't know if my hair's a mess or not. I don't have a mirror in front of me. You in internet land can probably tell me and see that better. But the Bible can show us things about ourselves. This particular passage is interesting because it starts with God. And when it says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, right out the gate, folks, we can know this, that God is there for us. In spite of anything else, and a matter of fact, if you forget anything else I say to you today, just know that. Know that God is a very present help in trouble, that he is your refuge and strength. Now, I like that idea of the place of refuge, and it actually has a military aspect of it. You know, you think of these towers that they used to build. I mean, back in the day when they made castles and they had towers, or they had fortresses and they had towers on the corners or whatever. And you would know that in times of trouble, you could go to that fortress. A matter of fact, there's, you know, we're in Ohio now, and Pittsburgh isn't too far from here. And it used to be called Fort Pitt, and it used to be a fortress. And the people in the surrounding areas, when there was a time of trouble, they could run to that fortress and be safe. And so you need to understand, and we all need to recognize, that God is that kind of fortress for us. He is a refuge in time of trouble, a place that we can go to. It says in Proverbs 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. A righteous man runs into it and is safe. A strong tower, a place of defense, a place strengthened against the enemy. Now, my question for you today, though, is in times of trouble, where do you go? In times of trouble, where do you go? Because if it isn't God, my question for you today then is, who are you running to? Who do you go to in times of trouble? Some people say that they believe in God, but in times of trouble, they're not running to God. And, you know, I like to quote Anne of Green Gables sometimes. It's a great little story. In Anne of Green Gables, there's a part of the story where the caretaker says to Anne, God doesn't want you as a fair-weather friend. And let me say that to you today. God doesn't want you as a fair-weather friend. God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. God wants to know you and for you to know him. He already knows who we are, but he wants to have that kind of relationship that in our times of trouble, we go directly to him. Psalm 127, verse 1, David says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David looked at God as a stronghold of his life, but also as his light and his salvation. And I'll tell you something, folks. If you need saved, if you need help, it's nice to have somebody there that can help you. And God is that kind of God for us. Have you ever looked at God as someone to save you? Because he is and he has. He already sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that our relationship with him can be repaired, so that we can go to him boldly. I remember back in the day, I wanted to go into an intensive care ward to see a friend of mine. And there was a door barring the way, and they were questioning me before they would let me in because, no, we can't let just anybody in here. And then after I became a pastor, I got this little card that had the word clergy on it. And with that card, I could go boldly into the intensive care ward. I didn't have to knock at the door and wait and hope that somebody would come offer my and answer my beckoning. I could go boldly in. People, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can go right into the very throne room of God. You can go right to him in prayer and know that he's hearing you. And if you have a doubt, maybe you need to do business with God right now. In the comfort of your own home or wherever you're watching or listening to this message. Because God can be your strength. And you know, the word strength implies that God is a source of strength to those who are weak and defenseless. And you know, folks, sometimes we've got to humble ourselves and take an honest look and realize, you know something? We are pretty weak, aren't we? We are pretty defenseless. I mean, you could take the biggest body lifter in the world, and if he's driving his car without a seatbelt on and somebody runs a red and plows into him, he's going to go through that windshield like anybody else. And that all those muscles aren't going to protect him, right? Calamity can happen to anybody, any one of us. So we need to rely on his strength as if it were our own. And it's like that story I was telling the kids. It's like, you know, when we got that neighborhood bully, we may be afraid. But when our big brother shows up or our dad, we know we got strength, not that's coming from ourselves, but that's coming from that other person. It says in this verse that we're looking at that he is a very present help. Now, that there's an idea there that that can mean in the present, but when you look deeper into those words, it means based on the past, based on our past experience. What's your past experience with God? Has he been your present help in the past? Has he been faithful to you in the past? You know, this is something that the children of Israel throughout the Bible, they would go back in their remembrance of the times that God persevered for them. Even last week when we were when we were celebrating Easter, we were talking about the Passover Supper and how the Passover the people were reflecting back what happened over 1,000 years earlier to the children of Israel, how they were led out of bondage. The word very, when we say very present help, means it's emphatically true. So it's true in the most eminent sense that God can be our help. In verse 18, it says this, "The Lord is near to those who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." So go to God. Go to God in your time of trouble. If you're going through a time of concern or whatever, if you've lost your job, whatever it is, call on him right now. He will listen to you. The second thing I want to talk about is that whole concept of fear. This psalm addresses our fears. It says in Psalm 46, verse 2 through 3, "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and form, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." Can you get a picture of this? I mean, if mountains were falling in the sea, that would make CNN, wouldn't it? You know? So if things were going on like that, we know that the news would be very, very big on that. But if you look back at the very beginning, the very first word in this verse, we see the word therefore. Don't you just love the therefores of the Bible? When you see a therefore in the Bible, you need to ask yourself what it's there for. What is it there for? Fear is a natural response in times of trouble. The question I have for you today is, do you stay there? Because if God is who he is, we don't need to live in fear. Psalm 56, verse 3 says this, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." When I am afraid. So fears will come up, but we don't stay there. We don't stay there. A matter of fact, I tell people all the time, worrying is a call to prayer. If you begin to worry about something, you should stop your worrying right there and call upon the name of God and bring it to God in prayer. Our confidence should be in God. He is unshakable and steady. Having our God as our refuge and strength means we have nothing to fear. Jesus said this in Luke 12, verses 4 through 5. "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who can kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." What Jesus is saying is, don't fear man, fear God. Don't fear what men can do to you, fear what God can do to you. Are you right with God? You know, there are people out there right now, and I said that at the beginning of the message, that are trying to play on other people's fears. They want to capitalize on the uncertainty and promote whatever their own cause is. And when you hear these people or get an email message or whatever, here's the thing I want you to do. I want you to ask yourself, are they promoting Jesus or are they promoting themselves? Are they promoting Jesus as the solution or are they promoting some other solution, which it really isn't a solution? Folks, if they're promoting anybody other than God, you just need to turn it off because it's not going to be very helpful. Think of the hours and hours that you could spend on the internet dealing in this kind of stuff. It could just be a big waste of time. Some of these guys are just trying to build despair, or maybe they got a new book to sell. I don't know. I don't know what their motivation is. But Jesus says this, are there not five sparrows that are sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. We've been having some trouble with birds at my house. The birds have gone crazy. They love to do their business on my car. But God hasn't forgotten those little birds. Why, even the hairs on your head are numbered. And some of you guys are doing God a favor in lessening that amount. But hear this. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. So God knows all about those little birdies. They may be waking you up in the morning. And when they do, remember this. You are more important to God. You are more important to God. You are valuable to God. And I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to do something foolish now and put God to the test, maybe run into a supermarket and start kissing everybody. I'm not saying to be foolish. We need to be wise. What I'm saying is we need to not fear and to put our trust in God. If God be for us, who can be against us? It says in Romans 8, verse 32, verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This is a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, people. Are you afraid of financial ruin? Keep this thing in mind, that God can be your source. God can be your source. And I love how Paul in the book of Romans ends that whole concept up in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Let me tell you something, folks. None of those things can separate you from the love of God. So, you know, there's this pause in this passage. And now we're at that pause. As a matter of fact, a lot of times the writer will put this Hebrew word selah. We're not quite sure what it means. It might mean pause, a time to reflect, or maybe it's a time just to have a musical interlude, you know. Maybe it's time for the guitarist to play, you know, a riff or something, a little lead guitar there in the middle. I don't know. But anyway, it's a time of reflection. And then the writer goes on and says this. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So in contrast to the sea with its foaming and roaring waters, we have now a river that feeds the streams and becomes a source of joy in the house of God. Now, what is that even talking about? Let me ask you something from those of you that are Bible scholars here today. What brings joy in heaven? What brings joy in heaven? Isn't it souls being saved? Isn't that what brings joy to heaven? And I think what this is really talking about is in these times of calamity, there is a river that's going forth and it just branches out into streams. And it's bringing, ultimately it brings joy back to the city of God because it's bringing forth the word of God to people that need to hear it. And I'll tell you something, from my standpoint, I might have said it before, quoting our broker, he says, never waste a good crisis. People's minds are on calamity and maybe in distress. This is a great opportunity to point them to God. And you can be one of those streams that goes through. Maybe your stream is the street you live on. Or maybe it's your place of employment if they still allow you to go to work or whatever. But I believe that you can be that stream of gladness that brings joy to the heart of God as you present the message of his gospel to people that need to hear it. Psalm 46, verses 6 through 7 says this: "The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." At a time like this, when the nations are raging, at a time like this, when kingdoms are tottering, on times like this, when things are on the brink of financial ruin, people realize that the government's not going to save them. People realize, I don't care whether you like them or not, the guy in the White House is not going to help you. And even if there is a different guy in the White House, he couldn't help you. The governor of the state is not going to be able to help you. A matter of fact, science is not even helping us. I mean, the best that the scientists tell us to do is stay home. Stay home. That's the best they can do. Here's what God says. Turn to him in this time of trouble. And we, those of you that know him, that believe that Jesus died for your sins, you can take that message to others that need to hear it. This is an opportunity to tell others about Jesus Christ. One of Jesus' disciples, Peter, said this in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. "But in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." So when those people say to you, you know, you don't seem worried about this whole thing, you can say, you know what? A long time ago, I learned to put my trust in God, and tell them the story, and then tell them how they too can have a hope in Jesus Christ by putting their trust in God. If people ask you why you're not afraid, give them that answer. The last thing I want to talk about is this idea of being still. In Psalm 46, 10 through 11, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Selah. You know something, folks? When I used to read this, and I thought, well, be still means you got to be quiet, so we got to listen to God. Well, let me tell you something. God can be pretty noisy at times. And he can go above the roar of calamity and earthquakes and thunder and whatever that you may hear. Be still, what it's ultimately meaning is relax. Because God has got this. Relax, don't fear, because God's in control. Be still and know that I am God means relax. Don't worry about it. God is in control. I love that commercial they used to have back in the day where the guy would take a drink of this iced tea and he'd fall back into this pool and take what they called the iced tea plunge or whatever. And I get a picture that we can just lean back and fall knowing that God's going to catch us in his gracious arms, that when we take the iced tea plunge, that he will catch us and hold us. So God's got this. God wasn't surprised when this virus thing hit us, folks. God wasn't surprised. So ultimately, we have to acknowledge that God is in control. So be still, relax, and know that he's in control. Don't fear. Amen? I hope these words could be of some source of comfort to you all. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your goodness, for your love. Lord God, it's such a good thing to gather together, even over the internet, to spend some time in your word, to reflect on our times and what's going on, and see how even this passage of scripture, even if it's 1,000 years old, can speak to us today. Father God, I just pray that you would help us to take these words to heart, that you would cause a will to rise up within us, to rise above this, and to exalt you as you ought to be exalted, to call on your name if we're in times of trouble, but even to shout your name in glory for who you are. Father God, I just pray that we would use this and help us, Lord God, put people in at our along our path that we could give this message of hope to. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you all next week.